One of the best parts about fantasy football is trading. And we're going to give you some help today with some trade targets. We're also going to talk about Thursday night football. Let's get straight to it.
Welcome to the Fantasyland Football Podcast.
All righty. Here we is. Here we are. It's a good day to be talking about football. I'm glad we're finally fully in the swing of things.
Yeah.
It's no more, you know, oh my God, football's here. Like, no, this is life now.
It just makes sense, honestly. Week one's in the books. It's a classic waiver wire, trade for targets, you know, Thursday night football matchup, star sits of the week, blah, blah, blah. It's pumping.
Yeah, and I love it. I hope it never stops. It is Wednesday, the 15th of September.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Wednesday. And here we are, ready to bring you a great show. I'm Zach. That is Badaki. Thanks for tuning in. I'll tell you what, I've been excited about this podcast because there are quite a few players who I think are being disrespected.
Yes.
And we can all take advantage of that together.
Yeah, I completely agree. The people on my list, I feel like, are being disrespected. So I'm interested to see what that's going to, how people are going to respond when they hear what I have to say.
Yes, we will have to place a disclaimer before we get to these trades. Let's get to some news.
What is going on here?
All righty, Jerry Jeudy, it's official. He will miss 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
He's on the IR. It's sad, but it's a reality, unfortunately, of football. People get injured. Jeudy looked so good.
Yeah.
He looked so good. And it was so clear that he was a wide receiver one over Sutton. Everything we were saying was coming true. And then he goes down with that injury, and it didn't look good either. This is sad, really sad.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much you can do there, Jerry.
High ankle sprain as well. Sorry, yeah. It's just...
Definitely was on pace to do something. It looks like he was on pace to do something special in that game and throughout the whole year. Missing 6 to 8 weeks really hurts, obviously, in a fantasy perspective. Look...
But even the injury itself, that high ankle sprain... Michael Thomas had a high ankle sprain last year. CMC had a high ankle sprain last year. It's not a injury that is set by a timeline. You know, it's unfortunately, it takes longer than the timeline typically.
I think it all depends on the person's body as well, clearly. If Jerry's body is a lot different than others, he's still young, so he has the youth where he can maybe heal a lot faster than somebody else compared to a Michael Thomas, for example. Look, maybe best case scenario, he can be back in 5. Best case, you know,
days, minutes, months, years,
5 weeks, he could be back in 5 weeks, and that's best case scenario. Obviously, the expectation is 6 to 8 weeks.
I wouldn't even hold your breath for 8 weeks. I mean, these high ankle sprains, they have to go exactly right. It's one of the worst injuries that you could see mid-season. Obviously, you know, it's not technically season ending, but when I see a high ankle sprain, I'm like, well, damn, that feels like a lost season. You know what I mean?
Yeah. GG's, honestly.
By the way, speaking of lost seasons, what a segue. Raheem Mostert lasted 2 whole plays.
Yeah.
And originally it was believed that he would be back after 8 weeks. He's now out for the year.
Yeah, he's done.
Season-ending injury.
He put a whole thing on, I think it was Twitter or Instagram, how he's going to have surgery and he was done for the year. I think he could call it quits after this.
I was going to say, this is
I'm surprised he didn't retire with that. Maybe he didn't want to. Maybe he wants to give himself hope to see if he actually could have this surgery and then come back next year. But even then, who is he going to sign with to, like, you know, one, two, can he even maintain a roster spot or stay healthy for next year if he wanted to continue into the NFL? And that's just still in question. I think this could be the last days for Raheem Mostert as an NFL player in general.
at some point, we have to bring mental health into the conversation as well with these sort of injuries and storylines, right? I mean, I'm not assuming he's dealing with anything mental health wise, but I'm just putting myself in his shoes. Mm-hmm. If I had come back from so many injuries, his story is crazy, right? His entire story, he's battled for everything he's ever gotten. Gotten to the Super Bowl, you know, got the contract, I guess. And then it's just been injury after injury after injury. Mm-hmm. You think about Andrew Luck. I think mental health was a big reason why he decided to move on. It's like, hey, I every time I get injured, I get this sort of like depression. I'm not saying anyone's dealing with depression, but I'm saying it is a storyline that does need to be talked about. I cannot imagine spending a year of my life getting healthy and then it's over in 1 second. Yeah. You know, I mean, that is just heartbreaking. You think about Raheem Mostert's season last year, battle after battle of injuries, coming back and then getting injured again and again and again, starting the year fresh, thinking this is a big year for me. And then two plays in, injured, out for the year. That plays so heavily on your mental health. And at some point, it's a battle that you don't want to face anymore, both for your physical health and mental health. So again, I'm not implying anything. I'm just thinking it's maybe a conversation we should have with these type of players who are injury prone more often.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely plays a huge part. We just don't know what he's going through, what he's dealing with. Obviously, we wish Raheem the best. But yeah. It was all a dream for Raheem.
Does not look good. Honestly, I do wish him the best. It mm-hmm. it does absolutely suck. And, you know, we did give out waiver wires yesterday on YouTube, specifically youtube.com/fantasylandfootball. We do a lot of content over on YouTube. I really, really like YouTube. but our number one waiver priority was Elijah Mitchell. I full-heartedly believe that Elijah Mitchell is the running back right now, but it would not surprise me if next week Trey Sermon was the guy. You know, like that's how volatile that backfield is right now. Everything that we know about that situation is that Elijah Mitchell beat out Trey Sermon in camp. Just no beat reporter was able to report that for some reason. They did not know. So I know you are on the fence. You think Trey Sermon might still be the guy.
It's not that
wouldn't surprise me either. But
yeah, it's not that I believe Trey is the guy. It's just I'm more on the fence on I don't know if I want anyone in this backfield anymore, purely because we were sold the story that, you know, if Raheem doesn't stay healthy, Trey is the next guy up.
We were sold that story by beat writers mm-hmm. who are just like us. They just go to these practices and have conversations with people casually.
Yeah. So,
but now we know what the coach has said. Sorry, just to throw that in.
No. There. Yeah. Now we know what the coach has said. And yeah, I mean, they can say anything. They can say this week is Elijah. They can say next week is Trey. At the moment, you know, the expectation of Elijah Mitchell could be the next this year's James Robinson. But it's such a risk because James Robinson had nobody behind him.
That's true.
Where now Elijah Mitchell has Trey, Jamichael Hasty. So, like, there's so much talent in the backfield that it could just be a rush roulette every week now. But for me, I'm just not comfortable. I'll still pick him up in a waivers and try to get it and sell him high. But I don't think I'm comfortable going out and maybe trading for him or even starting him week in.
I'm not even saying at the moment, bro. I'm starting. I'm gonna start. I'm gonna start Elijah Mitchell this week if I have him. I mean, it's a risk as any 49er running back is. But if he truly is a guy like they have said, the coaching staff has said, he could be very valuable in the best run offense. Excuse me, the best run offense in the league. But yeah, there is a lot of uncertainty. You're right there. Man, I wish I could go into the mind of Mike Shanahan every week and just actually understand why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah. I don't like it. I really don't.
I think Mitchell's has a great chance. Look, I don't think Hasty's as talented as we're leading on to be.
I'm not saying he's extremely talented to where he can beat out Trey or Mitchell. I think he's talented enough to have some touches, and he's talented enough to be in a conversation to say, you know what, let's just have a running back by committee here.
Yeah. You know? Keep saying Mike, but I mean to say Kyle Shanahan. Sorry, guys. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to get into Thursday night football matchups. But first, we want to tell you about RSA, Rochester Sports Autographs. They were able to help us give away an Amari Cooper signed jersey last week.
That's right.
Big shout out to Brandon Gruhl, who won that last week over there in Chicago. If you are looking to get some swag for your man cave, signed jerseys, signed helmets, anything signed sports memorabilia, RSA has got to be your go-to. They have the largest JSA authenticated autograph distributor and promise a money-back guarantee on all products. We have a deal for you, okay? So if you go to solo.to/fantasylandfootball, you will see the RSA tab.
Yeah.
Click on that. And if you use our code at checkout, you will get $20 off any order over $100. The code is FL20.
Oh, boy.
All right. Let's get into some matchups.
Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute? Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute?
All righty.
This is a big one.
Big one.
It's a big one. Come on.
It is a big one.
Change the atmosphere. The New York Football Giants against your Washington football team. Something special is going to happen in NFC East. And now let me tell you something. It's going to be on the New York Football Giants side. Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Special meaning like especially disappointing?
No. Something special.
Right. Like especially disappointing for the year for the Giants.
Something special is going to happen for the New York Football Giants.
Well, this game we are going to live stream on YouTube and Twitch. It's going to be fun for Talk It Up. We're going to be streaming this live.
There's going to be one person that's, well, you know me, I'm pretty chill. So if my team loses, it's like whatever. But if Zach's team loses, he's probably going to be quiet for the show.
So we might not see Zach on the show. He's really cool. I'm lame, you know.
I'm not saying you're lame. I'm just saying you like to show your emotion, and that'll be hard not to show if your team is either doing good or is either really struggling. But if your team's doing good, obviously that's great. But
yeah, we'll see. All right, the over under here is 41. It's at Washington. That's an interesting over under for people who are betting, because you know essentially if there's 21 points on each side, quick maths, right? You've done it, but I'm not so convinced that I would bet the over on this.
I'm not betting this game at all.
it feels like a lower scoring game. I could be wrong, but Washington's a good defense. Giants are a good defense. It feels like the over might be safer than the under, but at the same time, it's not a matchup I'm comfortable betting on. But anyway, the over-under at 41, you said you don't have a preference either way.
I'm saying if I had to bet, I'd probably bet the under.
Okay.
But I mean,
for the Giants, obviously coming into Washington, Saquon, what happened last week? I mean, we saw it differently. I'm not taking a victory lap at all. I'm just asking you what happened.
We were down early. That's what it was. I mean,
okay.
I know there was
Why was Saquon terrible? I mean, you want me to be more specific in fantasy? Why was he terrible?
I mean, there was a lot of aspects of why he was terrible. He was down early. He didn't have that many touches. He only had 10 touches.
Three targets as well.
Yeah. So on the ground, he only had 10 touches. The offensive line. And then once again, we were down early. So, well, we went up and then we got down. And then we were down early after that, our first touchdown. Sorry, we were tied. So I think we, once again, it was all limited workload. I think that was pretty clear coming in. If I'm still starting Saquon because anything can happen if Saquon's on the field. I know you were hesitant on starting or drafting him just because of the limitation of his workload, which was right.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I'm not here to take a victory lap. It sucks that, you know, one of your favorite players is not looking like himself yet, but I think it's unrealistic for us to have the expectations that he's going to be the old Saquon any time before, you know, week 3, 4, or 5.
You know, and it's not that I don't think Saquon doesn't look like himself. I think with the way he played, the way he cut, the way he was, you know, moving with his legs, I think that was all really promising. And it does, not saying he looks the exact same. I think he is healthy. I think he is ready to have the workload he usually had. I just don't think they want to give that to him immediately.
Yeah, and that's exactly the issue. This is what I've been trying to say in the offseason all along. It's like there are two major parts of fantasy: talent, but even more important is opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Saquon, when he was like the RB1, had a shitload of opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like 24 touches a game. And, you know, it only takes one of those to go off, but the more you have, the more opportunities you get, the better chance you have to do something special. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think that's the hard part. I don't
have Saquon on any team, and I'm glad. I'm glad because this is a decision you're going to have to face for the first 4 or 5 weeks, I think.
I think that's the hard part because, you know, Saquon can be a guy that could get, like you said, out of those 10 touches last week, I mean, obviously, it's all hypothetical. Imagine if he broke out 40, 30-yard run, got a touchdown. That was enough for you to feel happy. And obviously, he didn't. Just like a lot of people in the NFL probably didn't break out for that long run or probably didn't have that long catch. Whatever, but not the case everyone's
Saquon Barkley.
Exactly. But not everyone is also in the situation coming back from ACL like him either. So it's kind of hard.
Or as talented as him is what I'm trying to say.
So it's kind of hard to kind of put him in that mold, in my opinion. And I'm not trying to be biased as a Giants fan. I think like if CMC came off of ACL and we were like, oh well, are we not going to start CMC? No, we're starting CMC because we know what he can do.
I agree, you start him because you know what he can do.
I know it's the workload. So
no.
Not round.
I said don't start him last week, right? I said that because of everything I've been saying in the offseason. But I agree that I don't know that I want to start him this week, but you probably have to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Week three looks a little bit better because of Atlanta. But the issue is you drafted him and you put yourself in this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no one to blame except for yourself if you drafted him, you know? And I'm not saying that like, oh, you did something terrible, but this is how it's going to be until he is actually full go.
Yeah. I mean, we just don't know what's going to happen.
But you're starting him, right? You're starting him?
You have to start him. I mean, I cannot not start him. I mean, unless you're starting, I don't know who. It's the same thing. Like, Najee only had 5 points. Are you not starting Najee?
Yeah. Well, Najee's not coming off an ACL injury. He also had a ton of workload.
Yeah, he technically only had 5 more touches than Saquon.
Yeah, I get that, but still,
I'm just saying as an example, like for people to understand, like, are you not going to start Najee because he only had 3 points? Like, and you know, that's my thought process. Like, I think you still have to start Saquon unless you have another option. You know, like if you had a Swift,
other options.
If you had a Swift on your bench, I know some people drafted Swift and maybe in the fourth round or something like that. Yeah, I would consider starting DeAndre Swift, but I'm not starting. It's hard for me to start a Darrell Henderson. It's hard for me to start a James Robinson. It's hard for me to do all that just because what happened.
Darrell Henderson was the guy in that
backfield.
Yeah,
he looks good.
So, I don't know. I am, just like week one, I am absolutely considering other options, personally. Mm-hmm. Washington is a good defense. And it doesn't get much better after Denver. Washington's still a pretty good defense. So, I am going to consider my options. It's a short week. That's something we have to talk about as well. Yeah, he's come back from the injury, but this is a short week.
Mm-hmm.
You need that rest when you're coming back from an injury. So I am absolutely considering other options. Badaki's saying start him. I get it. I get both perspectives. I think if you do start Saquon, you have an advantage. You might see it as a disadvantage because of Thursday night, but it's actually an advantage because if he does absolutely bomb it, you know other moves you need to make to get higher upside and you know, instead of the safe plays on your team.
Yeah,
I think I would be looking for alternate options.
I think I'm pretty safe and secure in my heart as a fantasy player, not a Saquon Barkley lover, that he will have more points than what he's had in week one.
Yeah, that shouldn't be all that hard.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
It's three points.
It shouldn't be all that hard. So like,
okay, well then let's ask the question: are you disappointed if he scores less than 10? Because I am.
Yeah, if he scores less than 10, I'm disappointed. Absolutely.
Exactly. And I just don't know if he gets there. So
yeah, we find out.
It's hard. It's a conversation that, you know, we both, I hope that perspective is good because there's two perspectives there. Mm-hmm. Sterling Shepard looked like a star. We've seen this before. Sterling goes crazy and then the next week something goes wrong or the chemistry is not there or Daniel Jones isn't on the same page or Sterling gets injured. I'm not starting Sterling this week. Are you? I'm not starting Sterling or Kenny Gee.
Who's Kenny Gee?
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable starting any wide receiver here.
Yeah,
or quarterback.
I agree. I think if you are someone that had a Jerry Jeudy and probably doesn't have another option, maybe one of these guys you can plug in, Sterling
in a desperate situation.
Mm-hmm. Just depending on the situation and if one of your wide receivers got hurt or you need a desperation for a flex option already in week two, I think these guys are a decent start in my opinion.
Okay.
Kenny G got 10 and Sterling finished in the top 10 of wide receivers this week. So obviously that can happen with anyone, but interesting to see if that's going to continue.
Yeah, so on the Washington side of the ball, obviously the biggest storyline is Ryan Fitz Magic.
Fat GGs.
Ryan Hips Patrick. I've heard some people say Hips Magic.
Ryan Hips Patrick.
The hips lie. Unfortunately, these hips do lie, and he's going to be on IR for quite some time, maybe 8+ weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Heineke steps in to start. Badaki has been saying all offseason.
I would rather have had Taylor Heineke start than Ryan Fitzpatrick. My thought process was the inconsistencies coming in for Ryan Fitzpatrick in his past. Taylor Heineke looked great in the playoffs, and that was against a good defense. So I think Taylor Heineke has the opportunity. I'm actually more scared of Taylor Heineke than Ryan Fitzpatrick personally because this is a quarterback that can move with his legs, and I don't like that when my team plays against a mobile quarterback.
Heineke is more versatile for sure. I will give you that. Mm-hmm. I am definitely still worried as a Washington fan.
I believe.
I don't think he's a massive upgrade, you know, over Ryan Fitzpatrick as you seem to think, but I'm excited to see what he can do. I think he's more than capable as a backup. I think he can start. But more importantly, what we need to talk about, is he capable of creating fantasy-relevant players? And I think the answer is yes. We have seen Taylor Heineke. Most backups come in and they play it safe. And that's not what we've seen from Taylor Heineke. He's come in, he's run the offense, probably better than Alex Smith last year, than Dwayne Haskins last year. And he's thrown the ball all over the field. We have seen that. So from a perspective of, does this hurt fantasy? I don't know that it hurts Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas, and Antonio Gibson like everyone else is saying. I still see their upsides the same, personally.
I think for me, the only person that hurts here is Terry. I think Logan gets more of an opportunity. We saw what he did in the playoffs, and in those last couple of weeks, he kind of came into his own towards the end. I think Gibson is going to have a little bit more of opportunity, a little bit more of a dumping the ball in the backfield than maybe J.D. McKissic. But I think out of everyone, if I had to choose one, I do believe Terry is hurt the most because I think there's going to be inconsistencies coming from Taylor Heineke and the opportunity of him using his legs a lot more often than trying to find Terry out in, you know, in the secondary or in that second level. So that for me, you know, this Terry was a guy that I almost put in my trade away list.
I'm not worried about Terry personally,
I'm just worried, and I don't think I will want I wasn't excited to have Terry in with Ryan Fitzpatrick, to be honest. I just think there's a lot of inconsistencies coming still, But I do believe Taylor Heinicke was the better quarterback over Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I'm not too worried about it. I would probably send a trade offer for Terry personally if there's people in my leagues who are worried about him. I think he's going to be great this year still. All right, should we get to some trade targets then?
Oh boy.
To trade this dude and don't even get a first round pick, it's damn near a fireable offense. Clearly because of emotion, because it makes no football sense whatsoever.
Clearly.
All righty. It's that time again, baby. We're back at it again. We should have gotten a quick score prediction over there. We'll do that on the live stream. We'll do that on the live stream.
Live stream. Matt, by the way, talk it up every Thursday night and Sunday night football, 7:40 Eastern Standard Time.
Come I just got us. A trade from a league, and someone wants me to send them Damian Harris, and they want me to get Brandon Cooks back. What's
great,
wrong with people, bro?
Great trade, honestly. I would
What's
smash
honestly, back. Like, I have gotten so many terrible trades this year. All I ask is, if you send me a trade, ask yourself, would I accept this? Because if the answer is hell no, then don't send the trade, you know?
Bad GG.
And that's not even to anyone in our follower leagues, by the way. That was a different league. Anyway. All right. So we have 6 trade fours, 2 trade aways on the show today. Disclaimer, which has to be said
every week.
Okay. We cannot guarantee what will happen with these players. These are moves that we are personally making in our leagues. We have found a lot of success with trading in the past. It's been a massive part of our wins, of our championships. We can't guarantee what's going to happen with these players. Yeah. Last year, we told people to trade for a certain player, and then he got injured, and there was about 20 people in our DMs saying, "What's wrong with you?" As if we had a crystal ball and we could have seen the injury coming. So there has to be a disclaimer there. This is what we are doing. We cannot guarantee success. But your first trade for target, Badaki, is
Najee Harris, the guy that I was loving coming in the offseason, coming into this year, obviously his rookie year. 16 attempts for 45 yards, only 5.9 PPR fantasy points. It was a disappointment. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the workload was there. The Steelers just needed to get the ball rolling in the run game earlier. Okay. It was Najee after the half, or not after the half, in total for his whole game, 61% of Najee yards came after contact. That means the man was fighting for his life. Every single yard he was fighting for. Okay. Just imagine that against, maybe the Falcons, a team that probably struggles a lot. Look, it was definitely a disappointment that Najee, or for fantasy owners, you know, I expect obviously a better performance. I'm a Najee owner. I personally believe Najee is going to have a better week. He's going to score a touchdown. He's going to have more opportunity to come in into this week two. And the next 2 games are amazing. Okay. The Las Vegas Raiders and the Bengals. Look what, I mean, Tyson Williams did against the Raiders, okay? And the Bengals obviously played Dalvin Cook, so I expect big things for Najee Harris coming into week 2.
Yeah. I am worried about Najee. We said this on the live stream. I get where you're coming from, but I have to be honest, I'm worried about him. Like, the offensive line is not good. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why he had to fight for every yard. That's the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in a pretty good division, so I get where you're coming from with this one. It depends on the price. I'm willing to still have Najee on my team, but it depends on the price. The offensive line really worries me, so we'll see. What's clear is he's obviously the workhorse.
Yeah, I think it also hurt him because the game plan just like didn't involve him in the first half of the game. So if they got him in earlier, then I think he would have had a better opportunity to be more fantasy relevant.
I agree, but 16 attempts, 45 yards, that is rough.
Before the half, I think he only had 5 to 6 attempts, which is crazy.
I know, but I'm saying that the yardage output, like that's scary to look at.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right.
I get where you're coming from. Opportunity. All right, my first trade for target is Ezekiel Elliott. There are two reasons Zeke was irrelevant versus the Bucks last week. Are you ready for him?
I'm listening.
Number one, this was the best run defense in the league in Tampa Bay. Number two, the Cowboys' entire game plan was to combat the best run defense by throwing through the air like madmen. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott threw 58 passing attempts. They are not going to be able to do this on a weekly basis and win games. This is not a balanced offense.
Right.
Dak cannot go out and throw the ball 58 plus times a game and expect them to win games. It's just not a realistic balance in their offense. And they're not going to be playing these Tampa Bay Bucks every week. You're probably worried about Pollard, who was very efficient with his touches. Mm-hmm. But Zeke was still on the field for 70%+ of snaps on Sunday. This had everything to do with the game plan and nothing to do with Zeke, unfortunately. And by the way, Zeke ran a ton of routes, which was very, I mean, if you're in a PPR league, that should be a very calming thing to hear. He ran a ton of routes and Dak actually missed him on the flat. In the end zone, I don't remember that play.
Yes.
On the flat, I was like, throw it, throw it, throw it. Mm-hmm, and he threw it so late. But if he just threw it on time, we would have seen a touchdown for Zeke. And unfortunately, if he just threw it earlier, Zeke would have been in the end zone. Friendly reminder, they also get one of the best guards in the league, Zach Martin, back this week too. If anyone in my league is questioning Zeke, I'm taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
You're telling me I can get a top five running back because you're worried about week one. Please let me take advantage of that. I think he's going to be great this year. I'm not worried about it at all.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Zeke is the guy you take you have to take advantage of in the fantasy perspective because, I mean, that's not going to happen every week. It's
no.
I think the points that you brought was pretty good. All right.
It sucks if you own Zeke, but maybe mm-hmm. go take advantage and grab him.
Yeah, you have to. You honestly have to. All right. My second trade for player is my guy that I've been talking up all offseason coming into the season, and that's Ronald Jones. Okay. First of all, calm down. Yes, he lost you a week. Yes, that's me. I had negative points. He probably, he had two carries, something like that. And then he fumbled the ball and he had negative 1.6 points. It's terrible. I completely agree.
Pain.
It's bad.
That is just pain.
But yes, he fumbled the ball. Bruce Arians benched him. But once again, like Zach was saying, in the Cowboys perspective, the Bucks perspectives, they came in and knew that they were going to target this Cowboys secondary. They gave up the most fantasy points last year to any wide receiver, any quarterback last year because that secondary was terrible. It looks like they're going to be picking off right where they left off of last year because obviously Tom Brady destroyed them in the secondary. Okay. They didn't want to run the ball at all. Let's be clear. Lenny was there purely for a pass catching opportunity. In my personal opinion, yes, he had great runs, but I don't believe that's something that's going to maintain. I believe in the bounce back game because there have already been reports that Ronald Jones, it's actually confirmed. Yeah. It's confirmed that Ronald Jones will start week two.
I saw that.
That means they believe in Ronald Jones. That means Bruce Arians said, this is my running back. The game plan is to run the ball. Okay. It was just clear that it was the week one was purely game script. And look, they played the Atlanta Falcons. Next week. This could
be... Let me ask you, just to quickly interrupt. Mm-hmm. You confidently starting Ronald Jones this week?
Yes. I am confidently starting Ronald Jones.
I saw some nervousness.
I was going to say I have to start Ronald Jones, but I'm just going to say yes. That's what I'm going to say. But look, if you can get Ronald Jones right now for nothing...
You can get him pretty cheap.
You can get him for nothing. Okay, everyone's like, oh no, it's Lenny. Everyone's panicking. Get him immediately. You know, trade away maybe a backup. Man, I don't know, maybe trade away a Tony Pollard or something, a Nyheim Hines or something, a J.D. McKissick or something for a guy that I believe, I don't know if Zach believes, can be a top running back in the league. So take advantage. Take advantage right now. Ronald Jones, once again, against the Atlanta Falcons next week in week two. Something special.
I'll say this because you said, I don't know if Zach believes. There's 55% of me that believes Ronald Jones is still the most valuable back. And there's 45% of me that just doesn't know. And it's right. the uncertainty that kills me. Do you know what I mean?
Is it, you're not even saying Lenny is the back. You just don't know who it is?
No, I know that it would be Lenny. It's just more, I don't know what's wrong with Arians where something goes wrong with Ronald Jones and then you put him in timeout for the rest of the game. That's essentially what happened. Ronald Jones messed up and he just put him in timeout. That's so messed up, like from a coaching perspective.
I think it was also a lot to kind of come in as well. So week one, it's really crucial to win that first game.
I don't think that matters. I don't think a coach should be putting someone in timeout like that. And those actions are irrational to me. Like, players make mistakes. But what I will say is I do think he's a great trade for Target because I think he is so cheap. And I still believe in him as a talent. I think he's the most talented running back there. I absolutely love people taking victory laps week one on social media. Or even on YouTube. We have a video out on YouTube about Ronald Jones. And I cannot tell you the amount of comments of people being like, oh, you got this one wrong. Week one, guys. Week one. We have 18 weeks in total this year. So don't take a victory lap too soon on anything. Could Leonard Fournette be the more valuable back? Yeah, he could. But Ronald Jones is still a massive talent. He is more talented at this point. And anyway, I just find it hilarious people taking victory laps this early. Did we take a victory lap last year when Sammy Watkins was the most valuable wide receiver in week one?
No.
Things happen.
Things happen.
All right. Be careful. My next trade for Target is Julio Jones. Look, if Julio. You have Julio and you're probably worried, let me ease your mind a little bit, okay? There are two big reasons that the Titans got destroyed on Sunday by the Cardinals. Number one, their offensive line could not stop a single thing. I could have probably gotten a sack on Sunday. And number two, their defense is still terrible. It's the storyline we talked about in the offseason. Can their defense be even decent?
Yeah.
So the second reason is actually great for fantasy purposes. It's good that their defense is still terrible because they will need to score a lot of points. The first reason, let's discuss the offensive line being bad on Sunday versus the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of us underestimated how good that defensive line in Arizona would be with Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt. Chandler Jones was playing out of his mind.
Yeah, next level there.
But I still think that this is a decent offensive line. They just had an off day. It happens. Taylor Lewin, right, left tackle, said this on Twitter after the game, got my ass kicked today. No way around that. I let the team down and the fans down. Thank you, Chandler Jones, for exposing me. It will only force me to get better. Stay with me here for a second, okay? Stay with me here. Let's talk about this. My hope for James Robinson is completely shook. I'm completely shook. Why is that? Accountability. There is no accountability in Jacksonville. Right. Urban Meyer is just doing whatever the hell he wants, even though it makes absolutely no sense, but there's no accountability because he's Urban Meyer. The Titans got their ass kicked and they're saying, we are better than this. We did terrible. Everyone in Tennessee knows damn well they're better than what they did on Sunday. And there is accountability for every single player. It's black and white. We were not good enough. We need to improve. This is exactly where we need to improve. They're very aware of their flaws as a team right now. That's where there's hope for me. Because there is the accountability. There is the awareness of where they need to get better. When the offensive line improves, because it will, the run game will open up. Derrick Henry will do his thing. The defense then has to be honest, which allows the passing game to open up like we saw all last year. I'm not worried about Julio. He will bounce back. So he's a guy I'm looking to go and trade for in leagues this week. I think a lot of people will be worried about him. A lot of people will be saying he's washed. He's not the same Julio. And I'm going to be looking to take advantage of that. I don't think you actually have to give up all that much to go out and get a Julio Jones. People are very low on him right now because of that performance. So I think he's still going to be good this year. I think he's still going to have league winning upside. And I'm comfortable to go out and make a trade for him.
I think this is a guy that I'm kind of on the fence on. You know, I can see the opportunity because it's Julio Jones, but I mean, he didn't have much happening. Yes, the defense, the front defense was good, but it was clear that Julio Jones was only lined up on the outside, and AJ Brown had a lot more actually creativity to kind of line up wherever he want, which gives him more opportunity to find the ball if Ryan Tannehill can find him the ball. So I think it's hard. It's hard for me. I'm on
Julio has always been on the lined up on the outside, so that shouldn't be unexpected.
Yeah, but I think what helps me to be more on AJ's side was that AJ was also always lined up on the outside before
but
Julio.
This isn't an argument for AJ or for Julio. This is an argument that Julio will be better.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the case here.
Okay. All right.
Aaron Jones is my last trade for a guy. Look, what happens every single time when the Packers lose badly? Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Robert Bobby Trees, anyone, Davante Adams that are on this team just goes off the next week. Okay? He had only 5 rushing attempts last week against the Saints. If you truly believe that's going to happen again, you're crazy. If you do believe, you know what? This is a trend that can happen going on for the rest of the year. You're actually crazy. And I'm sorry to say that, but you are like, there's no way that's going to continue for the rest of the year. Aaron Jones just can be a massive steal. It was also clear that they abandoned the run game. Okay.
It's clear that they abandoned being a team in the NFL.
Look, if you watch the Talk It Up show, Steve was saying that this team and Aaron Rodgers, they were just away from each other for too long. You know, he didn't really have enough time to bring his team back together. And after that loss, once again, Aaron Rodgers is going to come back doing something nasty, and he is going to be giving the ball to Aaron Jones, okay? So, look, use this information to your advantage. Grab a top 10 running back on the low. The next game is against the Lions, a division rival that they always spank. Monday night on a primetime game, Aaron Rodgers wants everyone to see that was just a fluke of a game.
Nothing cures team chemistry like playing the Lions.
Nothing cures team chemistry as losing and having Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback and saying, you know what? You're shit and that's not going to happen. And he's like, everyone's like, oh, shit. Hey, Aaron said that, guys. We need to bounce back.
Who is directing this, your shit, that's not going to happen? Where is that directed from and to?
Aaron Rodgers came into the locker room and said, you guys are all shit. And he said that to Aaron Jones, Davante Adams, Robert Tonyan.
I mean, he should have said it to himself. He was shocking on Sunday.
There's no way he's saying that to himself in the locker room. He said it to himself in his head, and then he told the locker room, and then he was like, you know what? Let's be better.
I don't know that happens in a locker room, but...
trust me. Great friend of the show, Aaron Rodgers. He said that.
All right. My last trade for target is Austin Eckler. I know this sounds crazy, but I am actually encouraged by what I saw from him on Sunday. Yes, he is a my guy, so I am still all aboard this train. But he looked explosive, and he looked very healthy. I didn't see one sign of an injury holding him back. He got into the end zone and was by far the dominant running back in that backfield. The splits were not even close. Here's two reasons for hope for Austin Eckler. Number one, he did not get a single target in this game. And number two, goal line touches. Let's talk about number one. Why did he get no targets? In all honesty, Justin Herbert did not need to dump the ball off in this one. Washington, for whatever reason, could not get pressure. He was well protected throughout the entire game. That's not going to be the case every week. This offensive line is improved, but there will be more pressure on Justin Herbert once teams can figure out how to properly apply that pressure. Right. The biggest fear for everyone this offseason was Eckler was not the goal line running back. What happens the first time the Chargers are in the goal line or on the goal line this year? What do? Give the ball to Austin Eckler and he runs it in for a touchdown. So to me, I do see more pass catching opportunity for Eckler in the future, especially when they start playing teams who have a better offense. Okay. That's a good division that they're in. And he seems to be the goal line back. Those two things put together, he scores only 10 points in PPR leagues. Well, in every league, he didn't get a reception this week. I think you can go out and get Austin Eckler. A lot of people are questioning a lot of players. So It's not crazy to say that you could get some of these guys that we've talked about. So he's definitely someone I'm looking to go grab in leagues if I don't have him yet.
Yeah, I don't mind Eckler. It's interesting to see what's going to happen. I think it was... I think they just want to throw the ball a lot more, potentially. And not that I disagree. I completely agree with everything. But it just felt different, this offense. You know, it felt different. It felt like, you know, they trust in Justin Herbert. They trust that he wants to probably throw 35-plus times a game, and they're okay with that than rather running it with Austin Eckler for 20-plus times, potentially. Well,
they've never run Austin Eckler 20 times.
I'm saying
that. Like, he's always been like a 10 to 12 carry,
five receptions. Pass it to Austin Eckler, probably not 20. 20 was a bit extreme. But maybe they probably don't want to pass it to him.
Getting around 19 touches, 17 to 19 touches a game. And, you know, about 4 or 5 of that is through the air. So those are our trade four targets. We're going to give you 2 trade away targets, but they're going to be quick. Okay. We're not going to go into a ton of detail. They're going to be quick fire trade aways. Number one for me, Antonio Brown. He is the flavor of the week for TB12. We've said this on live streams before, but this is going to be a Russian roulette situation weekly. One of these three wide receivers, AB, Godwin, and Evans. Godwin seems to be the safest, honestly, looking at the target share and how much Brady likes to target him. But one of these three wide receivers are going to be the odd man out each week. AB is absolutely still valuable, and I think he can convert his performance into maybe consistency, but I would rather have more consistent players on my team, including Robert Woods, Deontay Johnson, the upside of a T. Higgins, maybe even DJ Moore or Adam Thielen are all guys I would consider over a guy like AB. I think you can even use AB to downgrade at wide receiver and improve in other areas for your team as well in a trade. You know, do a two for two and then improve somewhere, downgrade in another place. So AB is a guy I'm looking to capitalize on the performance. He could come out and have a great week again, but I don't think it's going to be consistent this year.
Okay. Yeah. AB, I completely agree. Just Russian roulette. For me, my trade away target or trade away player is Josh Jacobs. Look, what a game on that Monday Night Football. 10 attempts, 34 yards. But what really saved him was those 2 touchdowns. Look, JJ played all right, but it was clear that he was struggling with that foot injury. And I'm a person that wants to avoid someone that's playing through an injury, because every week you're going to be on the edge of your seat saying, you know, is he going to play or is he going to get hurt on the first play? There was times when JJ was running the ball and it didn't look like he was going to get back up. And I was like, ooh, he could be done for this game. And I just don't like that. Okay. Once again, I do believe on the 10 attempts for 34 yards, that's not good. Okay. Plus, the 2 touchdowns did save him once again. I just want security in my players. And JJ, you're just not that guy, pal. Just not that guy, man. Just so the people can know, people that I'm actually interested in over JJ, and this may come as a surprise, I'm actually more interested in Darrell Henderson, Miles Sanders. Obviously, Miles Sanders might be a little bit difficult to get. Kareem Hunt, I'm on the fence. That's a little bit hard. A Tyson Williams, I will probably take a chance on. It looks like he's going to be the main guy in that backfield, and I'm happy to take that opportunity with Tyson Williams over at JJ. But if you know, take that how you would like. See, shop around and see what you can get for JJ.
Yeah, I like it. All right, that is all for the trade for and trade away targets. We will be releasing a video on YouTube here soon. Mm-hmm. Next episode, we have weekly start, sit advice, and Hail Mary matchups.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. We will see you there.
See you there.
Hey. Yeah, you. The one listening to this podcast.
you made a good decision today. Keep making those good decisions. You know what? Go ahead and do a little dance right now, like no one's watching. Cause you deserve it.